big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 everyone. This is Tom Pounder from the YM Sidekick Podcast. Welcome to another episode. If you've never met Ben Kearns from California, you are in for a treat. I met Ben years ago at an Orange conference, and we've had a friendship ever since. Not only are we the same age, me being a little bit older than him, but we share the same interests. But there is one stark difference. He is still in the thick of student ministry while I am kind of transitioning out a little bit. And today we talk about longevity in student ministry, amongst other things. He's got a great blog. He's got an awesome podcast with his friend and my friend, Ryan Reed. And he's got some other great things kind of coming down the pipeline, including a new book. So we talk about all these things today. And so let's just get into it right now. All right. With me today is my friend Ben Kearns. Ben, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here, Tom.
Good. Now, I want to know, I mean, I'm on the East Coast and you are on the West Coast. Are you going to go surfing today?
On Thursdays is my surfing day, and it's probably still snowy for you. But yeah, Thursdays, I go out and go surfing. It's nice. It's like 60 degrees in the morning and get up to 70 degrees. It's beautiful out here.
See, you guys think like that. Like my stereotypical California dude is that all you guys do is just surf all day. Is that true or not?
Well, so I live in Northern California, and it's actually very different than like the stereotypical version of Southern California beach culture. It's freezing and rocky, and we have these giant wetsuits and with hats, and so it's not glamorous or glorious, but it's good for the soul.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, the simple fact that you do make me jealous every time I see on Facebook that you post you surfing or doing something, and you call it what I like about it is that you call it rehab. I'm trying to figure out how that's rehab for you.
Well, I broke my kneecap a couple months ago. I just turned 40, and for my birthday present, I broke my kneecap in half. And so in order to get back in shape, I have rehab to do. But this is it. I'm bending and strengthening, and then because the water's so cold, it's like immediate icing. So I feel like it's rehab without the copay.
No, see, there you go. That is awesome. How much does a surfboard cost out there? Like,
I don't know. You can get anywhere from like $100 to $1,200.
Oh, okay.
So it's up to you.
Okay.
And when you come out here, we're going surfing. That's for sure happening.
See, my 9-year-old, she desperately wants. She saw Soul Surfer and she wants a surfboard. And I'm like, Ella, there is no waves out here on the East Coast. We have to go somewhere else to do that. So, but yeah, maybe I'll bring her out there with me when I come out there to visit. So
perfect. Yeah. Perfect.
All right. Well, let's get into this a little bit. I met Ben years ago at the Orange conference. Was it the 2013 or?
I think it was the 13 or 12. One of those, the early ones.
Yeah. One of those ones that we were both invited as bloggers to come and blog. And share
in the blogger's booth. It was really quite an honor.
Yeah, it was like, I'm special. I've got this blogger tag on me, and I never felt more nerdy than then. But I've enjoyed it, and I got to meet you, and so we built up a nice little friendship. And you have a I don't want to say anything inappropriate, a kick butt blog that you do. And share a little bit about what you blog about and what you do with your blog and even your podcast real quick.
Yeah. So I blog at averageyouthministry.com, and really the motivation behind that was in my heart, I don't know, like many young youth workers that I found, we all kind of want to have some sort of status. Being youth workers, we're kind of bottom of the totem pole. And in our church organizations and in the lives of students and in the eyes of their parents. And I think the way we compensate is this weird need to be famous and to be known and to be better.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just reflecting on when I gathered with other youth workers, like there's so many of us. And I remember going to this youth specialties conference early on, and there's like 5,000 of us in cargo shorts and polo shirts and goatees. And we're like, oh my goodness, I'm one of a gazillion. And I realized instead of my motivation being the best youth worker ever, what if my motivation was to be just the exact right youth worker that God called me for my context? And I felt like all things, I like to lower expectations. And so I felt like being average meant like I feel like most youth workers are really great, faithful people who love Jesus and want kids to know him. And so why not just be right in that sweet spot of the bell curve and reflect on that and write on that. And that was kind of the impetus of my vlog as a kind of a spiritual formation, professional development way to keep me encouraged and sharp for ministry in my particular context.
Yeah. And I love your blog. I mean, honestly, I'm not trying to kiss your butt or anything like that, but
no, I love it. Give it to me. Come on.
you're one of the few youth ministry blogs, I mean, out there that I follow regularly because your writing is so good and it's so in depth. That I love it. And you don't just write blogs though. You've done two books and I do believe you have another one coming out, correct?
I do. So I self-published two books just to, cause I wanted to be famous and then I wanted to do something else. And then, only by God's grace, this third book's coming about. And that's, I partnered with Youth Ministry 360.
Great group.
To do this book about, evangelism and discipleship in a post-Christian context. And, you know, being in the Northeast. And I think it's actually all over the United States and in the student culture that kids are just post-Christian, that they are so far from Jesus, from traditional morality, from the handles that we use to communicate the gospel and discipleship. And this book's just going to be a helpful tool to kind of reframe it in a way that allows kids from any sort of background to move towards Christ.
Yeah. Well, that sounds awesome. I can't wait for it to come out. When is it coming out?
Good question. I hope it comes out by spring, which is okay. Coming upon us. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's technically spring right now. I mean, just for me. I know. But I will say I agree. I think this is awesome because I just read a thing this morning from the Barna Group that less than half of the millennials believe that Jesus is God nowadays. Like before, this is the first generation that less than half of the adults believe in this generation or in any particular generation believe that Jesus was God. I mean, it is definitely going on we're losing people, not gaining more believers. So,
yeah. And I think instead of being scared or fearful about that, I think it's a new opportunity. And I think seeing us as cross-cultural missionaries is a better stance than, you know, cultural warriors maybe.
Yeah, well, I would agree. Well, okay, well, let me ask you this, transition a little bit from that. We'll come back to it in a minute, but you've been doing ministry for a really long time. I mean, we are the same age, although I think I'm like a month older than you.
I know.
You've been doing student ministry for a really long time, and I think you and I are in two separate places at the moment, whereas I am kind of transitioning out of student ministry. And even for since my mid to late 30s, student ministry was something I was moving away from, doing some family ministry and now doing some online stuff. But you're still very much in the heart of it. You're right in the thick of it.
I know. And the fact that you're transitioning out, it breaks my heart, Tom. you were like my last holdout friend who's like my peer still doing it. And now I'm like all alone with all these like younger people killing it.
Yeah, well, I will say I will always have my foot in the door, especially as my girls are getting older. Like my sixth grade girl, I told her that I was kind of transitioning out of youth group, and she's like, well, I don't want to go to youth group anymore. I'm like, no, that's not the point. But I said, I think I'm always going to have my foot in the door in student ministry in some way while my girls are still young. But how do you stay fresh? Like, I know that for me, as I've gotten older, it's been harder to stay, you know, fresh, kind of stay relevant with some things. What have you found to be kind of keys for you?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Because I am, it's funny, like I just turned 40, which is not old, but in the student ministry world is ancient. Mm-hmm. And so I feel ancient and I feel out of touch and feel irrelevant. I could not tell you besides Taylor Swift, and Beyonce and just his names only, I barely have any touch point of what's going on in pop culture. And I just feel old for that. But it's funny, since my like mid 30s, I've kind of like dabbled in some adult ministry here and there. And I've just found that doing adult Bible study or even preaching in big church is fun and so easy because adults are so much kinder than students. But my heart is just for students. And I think honestly, it comes down to wanting to be sensitive to what God has put on my heart and to be faithful in that. And so I try to make a discipline of being reflective and kind of having some like annual check-ins of like, is this still where God has me? And if it is, then I'm going to run after it with all my heart and kind of let the rest of it work itself out.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's good. How have you found like your role has changed from when you first started doing student ministry to now? Are you still very much in the trenches of things, or are you more coaching? Has it changed at all?
Well, you know, so I'm in a small to mid-sized church. Okay. And I mean, in my dream, I would love to be leading leaders. I mean, that's what everyone kind of writes about. But
yes, I hear about that all the time. Lead leaders. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, well, and my leaders are, you know, moms and grandmas and college kids who are willing to serve students. And so, I mean, I'm in the trenches. I'm still planning games and doing youth group talks and writing small group questions. So functionally, I'm still doing a lot of the same stuff I did when I was 21. But you know, what's different is, just my stance towards students is different. When I was 21 and 22 and I was like the cool older brother and I could play video games and have sodas and go to all their sports games. And it was just really cool and loved being there. And students seemed to enjoy having me around. But it was about like 5 or 6 years ago, I took a student out for a little one-on-one contact work and, you know, they got an ice cream and I was trying to lose some weight. So I had like a coffee. And I felt like, hey, here's my unmarked van outside the coffee shop. And I just had this moment that just felt so creepy and weird. Like, what's this 35-year-old dude doing with this 15-year-old boy? And so it's weird, like a couple things like that as my age has changed, realizing I'm not the cool older brother. I'm not even the weird old uncle. But I've really kind of transitioned into more of a parental pastor.
Yeah.
And so instead of just being cool and hip, most of my contact work with students is actually really intentional and deep and kind of get straight to the quick and get to be super expressive in my love towards them. And it's actually been a really sweet season because of that.
Yeah, I would agree with you. In fact, I found in as I've gotten older, the things I value in student ministry has become different. At first I valued the fun and the games and all that kind of stuff. But then I really started as I got older, I started seeing the importance of small groups and investing in some core key leaders to the kind of the fast ships. I really found myself more attracted to them and really discipling them and encouraging them in their relationships with their friends and so forth. So go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it's just weird how, I mean, in every season, things are different. And I used to look back and look when I was young, look at the old guys and be like, oh man, you're so dumb and you're irrelevant and kids don't love you. And it's different. And then when I'm old, I look back at the young kids. I'm like, man, they can just hang out with kids and just do fun. But in every season, I think we're faithful in our season and God uses us and we have older and younger people that help smooth it out. So I don't think it's necessarily for me, I found that every season's better, but I'm really working hard at trying to at least be faithful in this particular one.
That's awesome. What would you say to some young youth leader who views as, you know, we've seen them, youth leaders who have come and said, this is a stepping stone so I can be a pastor. I want to be a senior pastor, someone of importance. What would you say to someone who is in that kind of that mode of saying, I want to move on to the next thing?
That's a great question. I was just talking with someone about that yesterday, in fact. What I think is interesting about that question is I actually feel like student ministry truly is a stepping stone. I mean, look at you. You use student ministry to transition and become, you know, an online pastor.
Sure,
and I'm the last one of, you know, the last true believers, it seems like. But I think like, you know, you're 24, you're 25 and you love Jesus and you want to serve in ministry. Like student ministry is really the only place in the established church that's going to actually give you some freedom to try on some stuff.
Yeah.
So I think, I think maybe saying, looking at it as, oh, it's a stepping stone. I mean, truthfully, everything is a stepping stone to somewhere else. And so it's what's helpful though, to see that in this particular spot that you're at, what are you doing now that's going to that's faithful in this moment and opens up opportunities down the road. And the things that open up opportunities down the road are, right, you continually grow spiritually, you're growing professionally, you're growing in your character. And I think as long as you're being faithful in those things, then God's going to open doors and you go through the ones that are next. The ones who just see it as like, because you can tell the kids who are like, man, this is, I want to just preach the word and I'm going to be a church planter and I'm just doing this until then. I mean, those guys are jerks, and you just see that the pompousness and arrogance, and they're actually diminishing in their platform and reach. And so I just think, man, humility and teachability in every season seems to open up way more doors. And when God plucked you out of student ministry, the next thing, you've done the work for that. And if God, like me, you're there forever, well, then at least be faithful and humble and teachable, you know, in this moment too.
Yeah, no, that's an awesome word. That is a great encouragement, because I will say, you know, when I first started in student ministry, I wanted to be in student ministry. I felt like that was where God has called me to be. But again, as I've gotten older, I didn't want to also be pigeonholed into just, I got to be a student minister. I don't have any place in the big church world. And so, yeah, it has. I mean, I think you're right. Being teachable, being humble, and looking for it as an opportunity to grow in your own gift, you know, gift setting and so forth. So,
and, you, I think that's and, great. And I think one thing that's interesting, and I think, you know, your career trajectory proves this out. My career trajectory has proven this out. That when you, you know, even starting as a youth director, a part-time youth director, if you're faithful, if you're valuable to your organization, they're going to want to try to keep you around. Yeah. They're going to see what gifts and talents you have and are going to leverage those, you know, for the whole church. And so it's not just youth ministry only, but people who try to manipulate that, the organization just intuitively doesn't want them around.
Yeah.
So, man, if you just get after it, people around you are going to see those gifts and talents and are going to help you use them best for their organization.
That's great. That is so true. I completely agree 100% with you on that one, Ben. So, all right. Well, this kind of wraps up our time of just chit-chatting about, I really wanted to hit on the fact that you're 40 and then you're still in the trenches. But I did, there was one thing I did not hit on that I wanted to hit on earlier is that you do have a podcast. It's a pretty cool podcast with Ryan Reed. Can you tell me a little bit about that? I want to pump that up a little bit.
All right, so here's the deal. It's not a good podcast.
I mean, it's good.
Well, you have like bumper music and
you have and cool music.
Okay. But Ryan's a good friend of mine, and he's a local youth worker in my local network. And just like blogging, it's trying to think, why do we spend our time doing this? And there's this selfish motivation of, man, people are going to see me or expand my platform or whatever. And once you kind of work through that garbage, then I realized, man, a lot of this stuff is to keep our hearts soft towards Jesus, and it keeps our heart soft towards this ministry that we're in charge of. And for me, I think the number one thing that's allowed me to stay in ministry for a long time has been my friendships and collegial networks. I think ministry is really lonely and challenging, and my friendships are what kept me going. And Ryan's been a really good friend. And so we just thought, man, let's just keep leveraging our friendship. Let's keep growing our friendship and be intentional in our ministry growth. And felt like podcasting would be kind of a fun discipline that would force us to have intentional conversations pretty regularly. And if it benefits or blesses others, then that's super great.
Yeah. No, I would agree with you 100%. And your podcast is called The Thursday Morning Debrief, and it comes out every other week right now, right?
That's right. Every other Thursday. Because I'm still a youth pastor, man. I got to play in games and hang out with kids and do receipts, you know?
Yeah, do receipts. That is so true. That is so true. Well, it's awesome. And I will say, you know, I started the podcast, you know, there was a little selfish motivation behind it as well, just like for when I started my blog. But I will say I learn best when I'm talking to people and I'm hearing from people. And so hearing you and Ryan talk about life and talk about ministry and processing what you guys are going through it's so encouraging for me to hear and to read, because I can identify. You know, again, I'll go back to your holy parenting book that you did years ago that you gave me sandals for being a writing a review for it. But you guys have a way of speaking and writing in a way that that people can identify with. So if you're listening to my podcast right now and you're like, I want to listen to more, you got to check out the Thursday Morning Debrief. You got to check out averageyouthministry.com. This is great stuff. And when Ben's book comes out, he'll tell us, you got to check out his book, because it's stuff that's so easily to identify with, and it's so encouraging to hear. So,
well, thanks, Tom. It's too kind.
No, I just want some more rainbow sandals from you.
Dude, you got it. No. Once all the snow thaws, you got it.
Okay, yeah, that's good. All right, well, Ben, this is good. This wraps us up for today. I appreciate you coming on with me. I wanted to do some 90s trivia with you, but that's for the next time. I will do 90s trivia with you next time. So brush up on your old school 90210 Melrose Place stuff.
Yes.
I'm going to be asking you questions. So
that sounds great. And Tom, super glad to be on your little show, and I'm glad to be growing in friendship with you, and love what you're doing, and praying for you this week as well.
Thanks, Ben. I really appreciate it.
Okay, well, there you have it, my interview with Ben. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I enjoyed it. I will include all his information on my show notes because, again, you have to take a look at his blog. It's very well written, very in depth, much, much better than mine. And you got to check out this podcast with Ryan, and the book's coming up. So check them out. And then that's it. So, all right, thanks for joining us today. Stay tuned for next week. We got another great episode lined up for you next week. Have a great week, everyone.